This is Talking of Books with Isabel Abuhul, John McDonald, and the rest of the team.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And here on Talking of Books today, we are talking about all things Emirates Airline Festival of Literature related, but focusing on anything that is suitable for children and young people. Festival runs from 3rd to the 11th of March. Not long to go now. Everything happens at the Intercon Festival City. And we've got a constantly evolving crew of people in the studio today. So you've got me, Yvette. We've got Noel, who's my co-host for today. We've got Ros from Tallinn. We've got Flora, who works with the festival and looks after quite a lot of things, actually. Education, publishing, training, all those things. And we're now joined by Flora's daughter, Nia. And at the control desk, we've also got Elaine, who's keeping us on our toes and making sure that everything runs to time. So it's very packed in here today. It's a very, very cosy, crowded studio. And before the break, we had Julia Johnson, and we were talking about other books. And Hilary has just SMS'd in to prompt me about, we didn't actually mention the name of Lucy Strange's book. Sorry, Lucy. People are finding it difficult to buy, but the book is called The Secret of Nightingale Wood. So do look out for that book. I can't tell you. It's brilliant. As are all the other books we're talking about today. So I mentioned Piers Tordai and said that we just needed a quick chat about him before we move on to Nia's review book of the week. So Piers Tordai is the son of Paul Tordai, and Paul Tordai wrote Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, which was made into a film. And many years ago, I sat not quite on this very chair, but in this very studio, and reviewed that and interviewed Paul. So it's a particular joy to be welcoming his son Piers to the festival in 2017. Now, I do know that the book that Piers is going to be talking about is one of Isabel's favourite books, and she reckons it's the best book she's read for a long time. It's called There May Be a Castle. You can catch Piers talking about that on Saturday the 11th of March, and that's at 10 o'clock. Am I the only one who's read that? Has anybody else read that? Oh, I've got the microphone to myself. It's brilliant. Isabel and I read it. It's an emotional book. I would say it might make you cry a little bit, but it is so uplifting. And it's about what happens when a family set out on a journey on Christmas Eve in the snow and it goes wrong. It's a great, great read. I would say it's one of those books where I think the publisher says 9+. I think there's a huge amount in it that anybody of 13, 14 upwards would enjoy. It's just such a beautifully, beautifully written story. So I want to see a full audience, please, for Piers Tordai on Saturday the 11th of March at 10 o'clock. Make sure you're all there. Right, that's Piers. Now, moving on to something which I would say is completely different. Nia, welcome to the studio. What have you got for us today? What are you going to talk about?
The book I'm talking about is called Jinx and O'Hare Funfair Repair, and it's by Philip Reeve and Sarah McIntyre.
Right, so Philip and Sarah came to the festival 2 or 3 years ago with one of the first book that they'd collaborated on. Since then, they've done others. Can you remember all the books that they've done, Nia?
There's Oliver and Seawig.
That's right.
Cakes in Space.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more that's about dogs.
Yes, it's about...
What's it called? You can tell us what it's called.
Pugs of the Frozen North.
Well done, well done. And I think within the book that you're talking about, the Funfair one, all those things get mentioned, don't they?
Yes, on the very first page inside the cover, there's a little picture, and it's got a picture of Funfair Moon, which is an actual moon, and all these spaceships going to it, and most of these spaceships are filled with characters from other books that they've written.
So very, very clever. So in these books, who does the writing, who does the illustrations on the whole?
I'm pretty sure they do it together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I would say that probably Philip is best known for his writing, and Sarah for the illustrating. But it's one of those strange author illustrator collaborations where they work really closely together. Quite often, as Julia Johnson was talking earlier about the book she wrote, she hasn't met the illustrator. It's all been done at a distance, and for, I think, in publishing, that's quite common.
Yes, it is, although it very much depends on the publisher and with the author mm-hmm. illustrator collaboration.
But this one, I know they work closely together. They're great friends, and Sarah is an imposing figure. Now, bear in mind, if I stretch, I am 5 foot tall. Sarah, I don't know how tall she is. She must be over 6 foot, and she wears heels and enormous hats. So I won't be having my photo taken with her this year. She made me do it when she came before, and it's one of the silliest photos I've got, because I think I come up to her waist or something. So I've got my flat shoes on, but they are just fantastic characters. Did you like the book?
I absolutely loved it.
Oh, good. Why?
Because I think it's really clever and it's absolutely hilarious. And it's the sort of thing I really like around my age.
Perfect. Why is it funny? What is funny about it? Because quite often when adults write children's books, they try to be funny. It doesn't always work, or it just becomes silly. Is it silly funny, or is it clever funny?
I think it's both.
Good. Okay. Got any examples of what made you laugh?
Well, they've managed to enjoy themselves a lot, because they've put in many rides that have gone wrong, such as a giant merry-go-round / fudge shop exploding.
That doesn't sound good.
That's the fudge splosion, I think they refer to, which sounds amazing. I quite fancy a fudge splosion.
Ross, did you come across them when they came to the festival before?
I miss them, actually.
Oh,
yes,
you,
I'm
you
sorry. I've got this vision of now this very tall lady with a hat
you under her arm. You'll know. Yes, pretty much.
So I think I'll easily spot them when they come this time.
If ever I feel I'm getting above myself, I just look at that photo and just think, yeah. This is where you belong.
It's like a larger-than-life book as well as a larger-than-life coupling.
Yeah, definitely. Noelle, have you read any of their books?
I haven't read any of Sarah.
Yeah,
No, but I've met her and I love to see her, because you can't miss her with her big hats.
You can't, and it will be there'll be enforced attendance of those sessions, because they're so funny. We sold out of their books last time, and that's... People hadn't really heard of them as a writing duo at that point. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is a measure of how much fun the session will be. So, Nia, are you hoping to go and see them?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, your brother's a little bit older than you, isn't he?
Yes.
Is this book right for him, or do you think he's a little bit too old for it?
I think he might be slightly too old for it.
Okay, but you'll be there. So how old are you, Nia?
I'm 10.
And which school are you at?
I'm at King's School, Albarsha.
King's Albarsha. And who's your class teacher?
Miss Rakowski.
Miss Rakowski, right. So Miss Rakowski, hopefully, has she shared that book with the class? Have you taken it into school?
No.
Right, you've got to take it in, okay, on tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, and show it to Miss Rakowski and ask her to recommend it to the class. And I think it would be really good, actually, if she let you just talk about it a little bit. Sorry, Miss Rakowski, if you're listening. Just replanned your whole Sunday for you. But I think it would be very nice to put your enthusiasm over to the rest of the class. And then hopefully on Friday the 10th of March at 10 o'clock, we will have a fantastic audience for Sarah and Philip talking about the fun fair repair. And they're back. I mean, they want to do so much. It's just like, no, there aren't enough hours in the day to do all the things they want to. One of the books that we mentioned that they've done was The Pugs of the Frozen North. So they're going to be doing a finale session on that. Sarah is working with Maithra Khayat, who she met last time she came to the festival. They're doing a workshop together. They are doing so many things that would take the whole show to talk about them all. Just going to give you a quick quiz question, though, just to see if you've been paying attention. So can you tell us which animals feature in one of their books? It's a dog. Can you tell me which breed of dog it is that features in one of the Sarah Reeve and Philip McIntyre? Not quite right.
Sarah McIntyre. Philip Reeve.
Philip's wife is called Sarah. It's very, very confusing. In my defence, Sarah McIntyre and Philip Reeve. Which breed of dog features in one of their books? So please send the answer into 4001. Don't forget to tell us your name. We do like to know who's messaging in. And again, you can win some tickets to come and see them at the festival. So this is a session that you think you'd recommend, Nia?
Yes.
Excellent. there, Philip has written books for older ones as well. Now, he's got, last time he came, he talked about a series called Mortal Engines. Has anybody here, perchance, Noel? Do we have one of your boys in the studio?
Yes, Ryan is
here. Ryan, welcome. Ryan, you've read Mortal Engines?
Yeah, I have. I've read the first one and the second one. And I find that it's quite, it's quite catchy as you read it. You kind of get confused at the beginning, but then there's certain points where you know where it just tells you where you get, like, you know what's happening, and then you start loving it, like I did.
Agreed. And there's a movie coming out as well, that which would just be absolutely fantastic. Now, this year, Philip is not going to be talking about Mortal Engines, but he is going to be talking about his new book, Railhead, which is incredible. For anybody who likes a slightly dystopian view of the world, a fantasy book, and likes trains, which I do actually, then you will enjoy Railhead. It's a great adventure story. I read it over the summer. It is brilliant. So you've got to look out for all the things. You're going to have to go online, www.emiratslitfest.com, and check out what Sarah McIntyre and Philip Reeve are doing. And you can see that we are maximising their time in Dubai. They are doing a huge amount. Nia, huge thank you to you today for coming in and telling us how much you love the book, and hopefully encouraging everybody to go and see them.
You're welcome.
And we are going to be back very, very soon with more books.
From Agatha Christie to Jeffrey Archer, we've got it covered. Talking of books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
And here on Talking of Books today, we are looking at Emirates Airline Festival of Literature and what you can expect to see between the 3rd and the 11th of March. You've got me, Yvette, in the studio, along with Noel, my co-host. We've got Ross from Tallinn. And we're now joined by what on my running order says Noel's boys, which sounds a bit like a sort of protection thing. So,
or a boy band.
Or a boy band.
Get your singing. So,
I think we need to actually reveal who Noel's boys are.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce them? Because I think you know them quite well.
I think so. Yes, I would like to introduce Ryan, my eldest son. He's 14 and a half. I think he has been an habitué in your Costa Cafe.
He was one of my first ones.
He's,
I think,
one of
the
your first
batch of the Costa Group. Noel, he's grown.
Yes.
What's happened?
I don't know.
I don't know. My goodness, that just makes me realise how long that group's been running.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
But it's really nice to see you back, and thank you for coming
nice
in
to
today.
See you too.
And the other boy is Yanis. He's 13 years old. And he's been one of your Costa readers, and he's been coming to this, to Talking of Books for, you know, quite a few times.
They're old hands, aren't they, really?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So I think the first book that we're going to look at in this little segment is by a writer called Tamsin Murray. Right, who's going to tell us about that one?
Go. Okay, so the book by Tamsin Murray is called The Instructions for a Second Heart. And this book basically just talks about the two main characters, Niamh and Johnny. And Johnny is not like most teenagers. He spends most of his life in hospital with a problem on his heart, and he uses this machine to keep him alive and to keep his heart running. And the thing I found unique about this book is that each chapter just changes his perspective, and for example, the first chapter starts with Johnny, and then in the second chapter, it's from Niamh's perspective, and Niamh is a young girl about the same age as Johnny, and she is the sister of this boy called Leo, and Leo has an accident, and him too has to go to the hospital, and so towards the book, I find out that both chapters are made like that because at the end of the book they meet, the Johnny and Niamh, because Johnny's finding a heart donor, and Leo turns out that he is available to give a heart to a donation to Johnny, and then there's many plot twists towards the end, and then at the very end it's very, very sad and emotional, as some people, you find out certain things you didn't know at the beginning, and then it's quite tear-shedding.
Wow, that sounds a great story.
It is.
She's written a huge amount. And again, I don't know, sometimes I think I'm living under a stone, I'm not sure. There are an awful lot of books to keep up with. I wasn't aware of her writing. The reason I came across her is because she's coming out to the festival mainly to run a creative writing workshop. If we've got any adults out there who are writers and want to hone, perfect, develop their talents and their skills, do have a look at www.emiratslitfest.com. Have a look at the creative writing courses we're doing. Tamsin Murray is running a 3-day course for those who want to write for children and young people. We've also got Patrick Gale, who's writing for, doing the course for those who've already started on their book. And we've got Sue Moorcroft, who's going to be with the beginners, which I guess is where I would probably belong. So that's how I found out about Tamsin, and then I discovered all these fantastic books that she's written, and that she also, she's an actor and has done a huge amount of stuff.
Yeah, the very strange thing is that she wrote mostly funny books.
That's
right.
It's
the first and unique book where there is a story which is, you know, not so funny.
Not
it's quite
so funny.
Sad.
Yeah, and tackling an issue. Roz, have we tempted you to add this to your reading list once you've entered the Costa debate?
Oh yes, once
I've finished
my essay.
Once you've done your 300 words to win.
I'm on that.
Flights anywhere in the world.
I guess so. I mean, I think it's a really gritty subject, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I am fascinated by it, but you know, the loss of a sibling or the loss of anyone close to you in the family, unfortunately, you know, there's so many people nowadays with different experiences. You don't have to look very far to find people who've lived through this raw grief and emotion. And I was just pondering, as you were talking about it as a book, thinking, is this a good thing that she's putting it into the hands of children so young? Because I'm of a generation where we were really very protected from the real world, and consequently you end up with quite a culture shock and a very fast learning curve as a young adult launching into the world. And so in many ways I'm actually delighted to think that somebody has tackled this, and I'll be intrigued to see how sensitive it is and how well it's written to make sure that it supports the reader as much as clarifies the challenges and the choices that people make in life and through death as they deal with such a very, very difficult subject.
Before giving the book to Ryan to read, when I read the synopsis, I was like, you know, am I going to give the book to, you know, to a 14 years old boy reading? It is so tough and so hard. And then I decided to do it, because then you have to see reality, and I think they are even at this age they should see you know, that there are these things happening every day, and it's not only reading about novels, the romance, you know, things that don't exist around us.
And the youth today, and children today, from the early age of 2, the engagement of iPads and social technology, you know, the access to information is so much greater now.
Absolutely.
With the internet. So you have to move with the times. And so hence the reason I was correcting my own sort of sites, just listening to Ryan talking about it, because, as I said, it wouldn't have been a book that my mother would have let me read at 13 or 14, but, you know, as a mother of 3 daughters now, I probably would think it would be a good thing. They're a bit older than 14, but, you know, it is a good thing now to help children face some of the reality of the world and the choices that people have to make.
I think so. And I think with books like this, as you were saying, Noel, you had a look at it first. I think it's important that there can be a dialogue between parent and child, or teacher and pupil. If you're reading a book like this, I think it's brilliant that you can explore topics like this through books. For me, that's the joy of reading. And I would say, for me growing up, I learned an enormous amount of stuff, not just facts, through reading, you know, what was going on in the world. And I think there's more and more a tendency to address these issues in literature and in literature for young people.
And also it's about timing. That's quite crucial, because you don't know with a class of 24 children, for example, exactly what's going on in all of their family lives. And there may be somebody who's more exposed to something that you're not aware of that could actually be the wrong time to bring this to the fore, but or the right time equally for others.
Yes.
So understanding, you know, who the reader is and where they're at their life point is really important too.
But if you think about people like the John Green Thought in the Stars and so on, which tackle these heavy topics and are not necessarily aimed at that age group, they're read by that age group.
Yes.
So that there's it's not quite a desire for misery, but for wanting to know how people feel about things.
Yes, I mean, there was a book about the Siamese twins, Us, wasn't there,
which was
extremely powerful.
Yes, yeah.
And again, a slightly different style of topic, but similar sort of outcome in terms of, I'm sure, the...
It is important to see... Right, and can you read just the sentence you read to me last night?
So the sentence I read was actually a poem, this girl called Emily, which was in the hospital with Johnny, and she had leukemia. And at the end, she leaves a poem for Johnny to read, and then... Wait, should I read the whole poem or just the section?
The sentence, the section you read to me last night.
I know you won't want to, but you must. And lastly, most importantly of all, learn how to live. You spent your whole life waiting for a heart. Johnny, I hope you know you always had mine. Emily. Ooh. And that I found very sad because it's like you don't expect it. And then I started, it's not like I didn't start shedding tears because I'm not used to these books. I don't read many of them. But I guess if you read these books a lot and you're kind of very dragged into them, I think you quite start getting very emotional.
And it is the importance of this relationship. So it was not only the story of the heart search, of the implant, etc., but it was the story that has developed in the hospital.
Yes.
So it was beautiful. I find it quite touching.
Okay, I'm going to go away and read this now. Yes. I actually have now finished my reading for today, so I can move on. I didn't have time to fit this in, but I am definitely going to go and read this. And I'm very much looking forward to Friday the 3rd of March at the Intercom Festival City at, I believe, 1:30, when I can hear Tamsin talking about instruction for a second-hand heart and get my book signed and meet her afterwards. So thank you. That was a very sensitive description of the book and one definitely to look out for. And we're going to come back with another of Noel's boys very soon.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
And here on Talking of Books, we are looking at books that are great for children and young adults, and that's all ages. And bear in mind, you're a young adult until you more or less stop breathing. I think that's a fair way of putting it. We've got a lot to pack in today. Huge thanks to Elaine, who's keeping us all on track from behind the control desk and making frantic signals when she needs to. But I think we're doing quite well, actually. I want to give you a reminder of the latest quiz question. We were talking about Sarah McIntyre and Philip Reeve and the fantastic array of books they've written: Cakes in Space, Pugs of the Frozen North, The Fun Fairy Pair, Sea Wigs. And my question is, which breed of dog features in one of those books? I have just mentioned it. It's not that hard. Text the answer, the breed of dog, to 4001, and don't forget to tell us your name. And you can be in the draw to win some tickets to a Litfest session, which, well, I'm getting more and more excited as the morning goes on, actually, because my sheet of what I want to see is filling up. So we are back to Yanis. You have been reading Tanya Landman.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Tanya Landman, I don't know how well known she is here in the UAE. She has written a huge amount of books for all different age groups. And you've read one that is actually for an older reader. You're 13?
13, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what you've been reading.
So I've been reading a book called Hell and High Water. And this book is basically about this boy called Caleb. And this book was based in 1752
mm-hmm.
In Britain, in a town called Torcester, or that's how I read it. So
toaster.
Yeah, that
toaster, a bit like what you put your bread in the morning. Yeah. Toaster.
And basically, he has dark skin, but his father is a white man, so he gets a lot of racism, and you know, his father gets accused eventually. After his father gets accused for stealing. And he is sent to the colonies in America, and his father tells him to go to his aunt's house, which he never met. Her name is Anne, and her daughter is called Letty. And so basically, they find many things that goes. He goes to their town called Fishpool, and he finds and then they find a body in the sea. And he's very convinced that it's his father's, so he and Letty dig deeper, and they try to find who did this and how it happened, and that's where the book starts.
Brilliant. That's a great description. So this is one that you feel, are you the right age for this? Do you think?
Yeah. I think I am. I think this book is more for like 14 and above. But I've read a lot of books that have this type of content. For example, they have this type of like stories, and so I think I am able to read this
and tackling difficult topics. And again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier, that it's the right book for the right age, for the right reader. And you know, not every book is the right book for a particular person. So I'm pleased that you enjoyed it. Do you think she's done a huge amount of research when she was writing this book?
Yes, yeah? I really do. To write this book, I think the person that wrote this book would have to know what was happening at the time and how things were. For example, slavery was a very big problem at the time. Oh, well, it is in this book. So he has many racist remarks from his town, from people telling him that, you know, they think he's a slave, and he, you know, and it's very, it's quite a sad book, because he just gets unluckier every page of the book. Mm-hmm. So it want, and you just want to go, oh my god, what, when will he actually get lucky in the end?
Okay, so you really empathize with him as a character, and you want it to work for him.
Yes.
Yeah, as a reader, am I going to have a positive outcome at the end of this book? I need to be prepared, or is there some
don't spoil it.
Exactly, I can't spoil it.
Oh no. Right, okay.
Is
I'm
it resolved
read this
itself,
one with as a story. Trepidation.
There's a lot of plot twists, and I think it kind of explains how he died in the end, which is good, but that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Okay, oh, you're cruel, you're going to make me finish the book now.
Yeah, but there is a good point that he said when we discussed the book 2 days ago. He said every chapter of the book is packed with information and suspense.
Okay.
So I think this is where he found the book, and this is where maybe the age...
Yeah, is crucial.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah,
That there was so much information into the
Yes,
so
you have to take time to read it and absorb everything that you're reading. Otherwise, you won't understand. Every page is important. Like I said, because if you skip pages, then you're gonna find yourself with info here, and then you're gonna have to go back to the beginning and try to find the page that you skipped.
Okay. So it's no cheating book.
Yeah, yeah. You can't cheat.
They're hard.
Yeah, you have
they're
to.
Hard.
You have to read this page properly.
So no skimming. Right, this is definitely one that I've got to take away and read. Yeah, it's not a skimming book, is
no,
it?
No,
The title, I think, is obviously very important, isn't it? Hell and High Water, because mm-hmm. it's a phrase we often talk about,
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that gives you the sense of depth of how you've plunged in the story. And the highs are not as high as you might like them to be in terms of a nice happy ending. Sorry
exactly.
about that, Yvette.
No, I know. I do like a happy ending.
I know,
I'm
I
sorry.
Do too.
I have to get over it sometimes.
But
I like
a
resolution.
Yes.
At the end. It doesn't
yes.
have to be happy, but there has to be a resolution. I'm really looking forward to reading this. I've read quite a lot of her other books, but not this one. But she, again, is a writer for young people who has the amazing range. She's doing a fantastic workshop on creative writing as well. Lights, camera, action, zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had an uncle who was involved in the Jaws movie. So she's got a whole interesting background. So she's written a series about the film industry, which we read Attack of the Blobs as part of the Chevron Reader's Cup. That's for slightly younger ones. She's also done a brilliant series of mysteries, murder mysteries for younger children, which I would have loved as a lifelong murder fan, only writing and reading about it. Just like to clarify that. I would have absolutely loved her books. I'm just trying to find, what have I got here? Oh, yeah. Sorry, Ross. The Head Is Dead. Tanya Landman, School Won't Kill You, or Will It?
Aha. Uh-huh.
you know, I would have adored those books. They're great mystery stories. So she again, has just this breadth of writing for young people, which I think is awesome. You know, that there's often a almost looking down on children's writers as, they fight for children, they're shorter books, anybody can do it. Anybody who can write for a seven-year-old and something as in-depth as Hell and High Water, I think deserves our appreciation and credit. So Tanya Landman, very much looking forward to meeting her. I've heard her speak. I can say she is brilliant. And you can come along and see her on Saturday the 4th of March for her main session, which she's doing on this book. And that's at 6:30, and that in the evening, not the morning, just saying. So that, you know, I think that's a measure of the age group that we
teenagers won't know 6:30 in the morning, correct. Don't worry. So it's 6:30 to 7:30.
Yes.
So
it's a perfect timing for teenagers.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I hope so. So do come along and enjoy Tanya's session if you possibly can. Roz, you're deeply involved with schools in Dubai, I think it's fair to say, and probably have been involved with education all your life.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a sort of global view now over the Taaleem schools.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. So we have 11 schools, so 10 of them here in Dubai, 9,000 students, and I feel very closely involved with most of them, each of them, and certainly count them as one family.
Yeah,
so.
You go right the way down from...
From
FF1
2 years
to,
of age,
yeah,
yes, mm-hmm.
Right
so from nursery all the way up to 18 and looking at graduates going to university destinations and some really exciting offers coming in from Oxford and Cambridge for some of our students and
fantastic.
Ivy League right now.
Fantastic.
So celebrating
really
with them.
Parents, teachers and students.
Absolutely, yes.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Exciting times.
Where's the other school?
So Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
Yes, International
of course,
School.
Of course,
so
yeah.
IB
yeah.
School.
Yeah, so all based
standing.
In the UAE.
Yes.
Now, you became involved with the Lit Fest a few years ago now.
As Taaleem, yes, certainly, 8 or 9 years ago, and our sponsorship is of the Poetry Award, either poetry written in Arabic or in English.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really, really proud to be associated with that, and it's delightful because poetry is so fundamental as a component for literature, and so it draws in students and adults alike, and it reflects not just the literature but the culture here of the UAE, which is really important for us as a local organisation for the Taaleem schools, even though all of our schools are for expatriates. So Dubai British School and Dubai British School Jumeirah Park, we have some students here today to talk about books later on, as well as our IB schools, Jumeirah Baccalaureate
exactly.
School,
yeah.
Uptown and Greenfield, so on, yeah. Up here in Dubai.
So yeah, all good. And I have to say, as I sort of mentioned earlier, that we had a huge number of entries this year for the poetry.
Yes.
And what is particularly joyful for me, actually, on two counts. One is because I can't actually get involved in it. But secondly, because it's such an affirmation of what we've been trying to do, is that the number of entries in Arabic has
yes.
increased dramatically,
yes.
which we've tried to do for years. And finally this year, I think we've got it right. But actually, it's not so much about the numbers. Yes, that's important. But actually, for me, it's about the quality.
It's
and
the
quality is up
as
there.
Well. Yes, I think you know, we're seeing an increasing interest in Arabic writing, reading, speaking and listening in all of our schools.
Yeah.
And up at Uptown School in Murdiffin at Al-Mizar American Academy for Girls, just round the corner
mm-hmm.
from each other, a large number of Arab families, Emirati students as well, who are now taking part in these competitions, coming forward and hearing the student voice. In fact, we're just launching a speakathon for students in Arabic and English, the English speakathon going through to May, but talking about happiness and positivity in schools as themes, and we're delighted to see what students are reading. We do an Arabic reading and writing competition as well, which gives them a platform to
fantastic.
Learn how to speak Arabic and speak it more confidently.
Yes, because I mean that's certainly something that we've identified as something that needs to be tackled.
Yes.
Because I think so many children here grow up with should have Arabic completely as their mother tongue, and actually because they maybe are education system where they're taught in English, it's very hard for them to be supremely confident to speak in public in Arabic.
And also it's difficult for some families who have come, you know, have Arabic passports,
yep.
but they may have actually worked overseas abroad in different countries that don't have Arabic, and so they start to lose that language a little bit. So when they come back to study here, they have to go into the Arabic for native speakers, and it makes
that's
a big
right.
gulf in sometimes
certainly
in their
does.
Own learning. So
yeah.
so some really interesting challenges in how you teach Arabic and how you inspire and motivate children, and engaging them with a love of the language is a really, really core part of our DNA in Taaleem schools.
And any parents who are listening who maybe are in that position
mm-hmm.
and would like to actually encourage their children and give them a different opportunity to engage with the Arabic language,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm going to say come to the festival.
Absolutely.
We've got some fantastic sessions. Today we have focused pretty much on the English, But please have a look at the Arabic sessions we've got. I know last time we did a programme where we looked at Arabic novels and so on. Mm-hmm. We had a huge response from listeners. We've got Mehral Kayat, who's going to be doing a brilliant workshop. We have got Amal Farah. Would you like to be a turtle? Obviously, I'm not going to practice my Arabic here. I should throw this over to Noelle and put her completely... No, she's running out the studio. You see, she's one of those people who's not supremely confident in her Arabic, so we're going to make her go to all those sessions. We've got Sonia Nimmer, Let Your Imagination Fly, the story maker with Saha Mahfouz, as I say, My Mum's Pretty Veil, Mehral Kayat. Have a look at what's going on in the Arabic section, and... our website is in Arabic as well as English. You can track those down, but as a parent, if you're less confident in your Arabic, you can also find them for people like me on the English side as well. We've got Huda Al-Qudami, The Elephant's Journey. So much going on that I am really, really pleased. Complete programme. You can spend the 3rd, the 4th, the 10th, the 11th completely immersed in Arabic with your children.
And I think don't be frightened of it. You know, if you don't have Arabic, you know, there are things that, like the joint workshop that Mehral Kayat is doing with Sarah McIntyre. And that's about, it's improvisation, really, creating a story about pirates.
That's
and,
right.
And you know, parents and children alike from the age of 4 or 3 even would be able to get excited and engaged and active with that.
That's right. So just have a look. There's so much different stuff on the programme this year. Have a look.
I think 2 weeks is not enough. You need to run it for a month at least. It seems there's so much going on.
On that note, thanks, Ross.
Sorry.
Stay listening and we'll be back.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8. Now, back to the team.
And here on Talking of Books, we are continuing our focus on what's available for children and young people at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, which takes place from the 3rd to the 11th of March at the Intercon Festival City. And we've had a couple of competitions where you can SMS your answers in running this morning. The first one, we met the lovely Julia Johnson, whose books are all pretty much based on the UAE. And the question was, does Julia live in Dubai? And that was a simple yes or no to 4001 with your name. And the second one, you do need to have been listening to be aware that Sarah McIntyre and Philip Reeve have written a series of books, one of which features a breed of dog. And it's a breed of dog that goes into space and it's very short. That's the title, of the breed, not necessarily the book. Can you tell me what breed of dog is featured in that book? And again, 4001 with your name. I also talked earlier about our Costa competition. Now, for that one, don't SMS your answer in. If you've done that, you need to get onto our website, www.emiratslitfest.com, and there's a place on there, a little competitions thing where you can submit your entry. So do go ahead and do that. And the beauty of that competition is that you can win 2 flights to anywhere in the world, apparently, which is quite exciting. There'll be the odd sort of disclaimer there because, like, you know, we're not doing the space trips on that one, I don't think. But there will be other opportunities.
On Earth. Somewhere
yeah,
on Earth.
Yeah. Okay. And for the competitions that we're running with the SMS answers in, you can win tickets to Litfest sessions. So you've got me, Yvette, we've got Noelle as my co-host, we've got Ross from Talim, and we have got some of Ross's pupils from the Talim group. We've got Erin and we've got Yusuf. So, Erin, first of all, which school are you at?
Dubai British School, Jumeirah Park.
You almost forgot there, didn't you? You had to think for a moment. Okay, so I'm going to move swiftly on to Yusuf, who may be able to remember which year group you're both in.
Oh, we're in year 8.
Okay, now normally year 8 in a school, you're not year 7, you're not the complete newbies in the second bit of school. By year 8 you've sort of found your feet a bit, you know where you are, but you've still got quite a few year groups above you.
Yeah.
Oh,
is that
haven't.
True for you?
No, because it's a new school, so we're the top of the top. We're
you
the
are. And I was working at Jess Ranches when that happened, and that year 8 year group when the school opened, and now doing all sorts of incredible things. Actually, it's a brilliant opportunity to just stay as top dog. Enjoy it.
Pioneers.
Yeah, definitely. And the chance to really develop with the school. So I think you're in a hugely lucky place. Is it quite a small year group?
Yeah.
How many?
Only like 20 people.
Oh. One class. 20
and there's
people.
Only one class.
And 4 boys.
Oh, wow.
And
Oh, well. Well done, Yusuf.
Okay. Yeah, well done, Yusuf. And Yusuf is looking remarkably sane, may I say. Well done, Yusuf. Now, you've both been reading.
Yeah.
Okay, have you read the same book?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Erin, which book have you read?
The Shadowkeeper by Abby Elphinstone.
Okay, so Abby is coming to the festival. Yusuf.
Yeah.
Did you like the book?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Phew.
Like, the end of every chapter would be a cliffhanger, so you would want to keep reading and reading and reading.
Now, is this part of a series, Erin?
Yes, it is. It's the second book of the series.
Okay.
The first book is The Dream Snatcher.
Dream Snatcher. Have you read that one?
No.
Have you read that, Yusuf?
No.
Did it matter?
Yeah, because in the beginning it said a lot of things, and I'm like, who's this person? Who's
okay.
that person? What are they doing? What is this? Because sometimes they would say words that I wouldn't know, so I had to like try either search it up on Google or something to try to find out the answer or
okay.
like what the word means.
I'm impressed with the fact that you actually did that. That's quite mm-hmm. good that you didn't gloss over it, as I probably would have done, I have to say. So you would recommend starting with the first book in the series, with the Dream Snatcher
yeah.
book, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, but nevertheless, you did eventually enjoy this one.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was really good.
Okay, who's going to go first? Erin.
Okay.
What was so good about it?
Well, it really focused on friendship and how working on a team matters. So it, like, how do I put this? Well, so when they're trying to defeat the bad guys, they can't do it alone. So without everybody else, you can't make the you can't do the greater good. You can't defeat the evil.
Okay. Yep. So it's all about collaborative work to make something good happen, and that as a theme
yeah.
appeals to you. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yusuf, what was the main thing that you liked about this book?
It's not like any other book where the hero like fails once and then they do just success. Like
okay.
most of the book is failure, and at the very end they succeed, but most of the book is failure and sadness, and they get into traps and tricks, and they get like attacked by beasts conjured up by the shadow masks.
That's interesting. That's an interesting mm-hmm. idea for a story. Now, I have read the first one, and I would say that Dream Snatcher is much the same, and when I got to the end of that one, it really made me that the second one wasn't out at that point, which was very annoying. I think now readers are in the position of being able to read the first one and go straight onto the second one. But I really wanted to know what was happening. Does this one end on a cliffhanger?
Yes. Yeah. A very big one. There needs to be a third book.
I'm sure there will be. It must almost be out because it's been out a while now. Okay, brilliant.
We can ask you at the festival.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's certainly one of the questions that that we need to make sure we tackle with her. So hopefully you'll be coming along to see mm. that session. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Friday the 10th of March, that's when we can meet Abby, and that's at 1:30, and she'll be talking about this book and her other writing there. She's a bright young thing writer. She's quite new, she's young. She's done some fantastic stuff. She does some brilliant research, including going to Mongolia, I think it was, and living with the eagle trainer who was a young girl. Film out recently about that. So she's done some incredible things. She's very, very adventurous. And I'm really looking forward to meeting her. So this year at the festival, Noelle, I don't know, there'll be names that you and I know from way back, but also new names like this, that maybe we're reaching a whole new generation of writers and bringing them out, which I think is brilliant. You know, we've got Abby, we've got Lucy,
indeed.
Piers Tourdet. They're all new.
It is fantastic because you always make it, we always look for the easy way, and then we go to writers who are much easier for us because we know them, we read
right.
them. But this is a good challenge for all of us this time, because we have a lot of new writers that we haven't heard of before, and we would love to discover. And funny enough, usually when I give the list to my kids to choose, they know at least 30% of the writers. This
That's
time
reassuring.
they were a bit stuck, and they were like attracted by these
yeah.
new names. So
mm.
yes,
but that's quite hard, isn't it?
It is.
As somebody trying to buy tickets, if their names you don't know,
yes.
you've got to do a little
but
bit.
But there is enough on
research,
the website.
I
there is
so.
A lot.
Yeah,
yeah. There is a description of the writers. You have a lot about the writers, the pictures, which is good because you can. If you meet the writer in the corridors, you know who the writer is.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's interesting.
And anybody who's got any questions about the children's programme in particular, or general ones, you are more than welcome to text them into us this morning on 4001. Send us your question, tell us your name, and we'll do our best to answer it. If we can't answer it now, we'll know a man or a woman who can in the future. Mm-hmm. So is this a session that you would recommend other people your age to go and see? Do you think it's suitable for slightly younger age group or older? What do you think?
I think it's suitable for a lot of different age groups because the writers there aren't only like for one specific age group. Mm-hmm. The writers are like over a span of different age groups, like from like as low as 7 to like high as like 17.
Way down. So for this particular one, you're both 13?
Yeah.
Is that spot on? Is it the right book for you? Would you have enjoyed it when you were 10?
Well, definitely when I was 10, because like I've always been a fan, like fangirling over adventures and mysteries and just the cliffhangers and the drops where you just want to read on and read more.
I know, that's awful though when you've got other things to do, isn't it? And you get to the end of the chapter, just like one more chapter. when do you do your reading, Erin? Do you do it at night, in bed? Do you do it in the morning?
Sometimes I would do it in bed because that's when you get to calm down.
Yeah.
But then it also depends on how much homework you get, what clubs you have after school, what things that need to be done. So anything where I just get to be by myself and just relax, I would pick up a book and just sit there and read for about an hour.
Brilliant. You see, that's why I like going on holiday. Because I can do that, I can just sit and read with nobody to disturb me. Yusuf, what about you? What's your reading habit? When do you read?
I read like when I finish my homework, and it's a lot. So I finish my homework and I read for like an hour or two, then go to dinner, then I come back, read, and then stop, then start getting ready.
Okay, so you are both very, very keen readers. So I'm gonna throw a little bit of information here, a little bit of news at you. See what you think about this, Roz, as well, and Noel. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was a study carried out by the Aviva Insurance Company which revealed that a staggering 6.5 million people in the UK do not own a book. That is huge. I think that's terrible. We're gonna go away in a minute, but what do you think? Is that awful, terrible statistic?
10% of the population.
Yeah, 10% of the population do not own a book. I find that hard to believe.
I'm just thinking about, does that count like a status of people in hospital, in old people's homes?
Who knows?
They don't have all their belongings with them.
Who knows?
All the
people under
2.
That's quite shocking. I don't know anybody who doesn't own a book. You see, I queried it as well for those reasons. But I think people who come to the festival do not belong in that category, thankfully.
Well, so if they do, come to the festival and you'll find out what you're missing.
We are the festival for non-readers.
Absolutely.
Come and join us. Erin and Yusuf, huge thanks today for coming in. Erin, you've had a long wait to get on air. Thank you. I'm not going to name check your dad because apparently it was all his fault, but hey, just be nice to him when you get home. Okay, and Yusuf, thanks very much, and we'll see everybody soon.
This is Talking of Books here on Dubai Eye 103.8.